There is no person that God cannot save. There is no promise that God will not keep. There is nothing that our God cannot do.
In today's culture, the definition of thriving often comes down to the size of our bank accounts, the square footage of our homes, or our social media numbers. But as followers of Jesus, our understanding runs much deeper, far deeper. Through the lens of Scripture, we see thriving not as a measure of worldly success, but as a profound alignment with God's divine purpose for our lives. Earlier this year, we began exploring what it truly means to thrive in 25. The response from our church family has been remarkable, which is why I feel led to share them with you, our PowerPoint family. So today, we're focusing on an essential truth, thriving with purpose. Now, think about that for just a moment. You were made by God for a purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. But what does that look like in our daily lives? How does the divine purpose, God's plan for our lives, shape us every day? As we open God's Word together, let's discover how we can live out God's plan for our lives with joy and purpose. A wonderful friend of mine, now in heaven, George Sweeting, he was pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, president of the Moody Bible Institute, a wonderful encourager to me. One of the greatest encouragers in my life was George Sweeting. He lived to be 100 years of age, passed away just about a year ago. But he had a statement that I've often thought about. Success in life does not depend upon the dreams we dream, but upon the choices that we make. Again, your success in life, young people, men and women, does not depend upon the dreams that you dream. Have great dreams. But it's not dependent upon your dreams, but the choices that you make. Especially when you choose Christ and you choose the will of God for your life. Amen. You were made on purpose for a purpose. In fact, the scripture says we are knitted together in our mother's womb. God knew us before we were born and had a plan. God has a story for every life that he's writing in us. And God's purpose for each one of us is that we know him and love him and serve him. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve, honor, and glorify him. That's the purpose of life. So we're going to look at some scriptures today regarding choosing God's purpose in your life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans, and some translations give this as, for I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts. I know the plans that I have for you. Personal. When I read that, I often stop to think. If God just had one thought towards me in my lifetime, if he just thought about me one single time, that would be amazing. That God Almighty would have a thought towards me, a plan for me. But the Bible says, he said, I know my thoughts towards you, the thoughts that I have towards you. Jesus said he knows the number of the hairs of our heads. He knows our days. He knows our destiny. He has all these thoughts towards us, these plans towards us. And what are they? Plans for your welfare and not for evil. The will of God is not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. And God would choose for you what you would choose for yourself if you had all the facts. So he said, not for evil, but for your welfare, to give you a future and a hope. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, well-known verses that I have lived by through the years. And in effect, what you see in Romans 12, the first two verses, is a prayer of the Apostle Paul, for sure. He said, I plead with you, I beg you at the start. But in effect, because this is God's word, it's not just the prayer of Paul, but you could even say this is God's prayer for you. This is God's plea to you, God's appeal. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, because of all that Christ has done for us, all that God has done in our lives, his love, his grace, his power, his mercy, his salvation, his cross, his resurrection, because of all of these mercies, that you would present your bodies, meaning your whole self, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern, important word, discern what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. You can know, because of what Christ has done for you, that his will for your life, his purpose, is good, acceptable, and it is perfect. Another scripture to make the point of God's guidance in our lives, Ephesians 2:10, right on the heels of, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, comes these words, for we are his workmanship. And the word there, poema, it could be translated poem or masterpiece. You are God's workmanship. You are God's masterpiece, uniquely designed and shaped by God himself. To do what? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. So even before you were born, God prepared your works. And when you were born again in Christ, everything is now prepared for you to live out your faith in Christ. Listen to this promise in Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That is, God is watching over us. And his eye never leaves us. And he cares for us. And he instructs us and teaches us and shows us the way in which we should go. Amazing, isn't it? That the Lord is leading our lives. That there is a purpose, a plan that God has in mind, a work for each one of us. And when you think about the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have God the Father above us, watching over us, instructing us, teaching us. We have Christ beside us as we walk with him, this journey with Jesus. We follow in his steps, Peter says. And we have the Holy Spirit within us, who is our helper to know and do the will of God. Yes, God has a will. God has a plan for your life. Amen. Desire it. The psalmist said in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are life verses for me. When I was just a boy, 10 or 12 years of age, I took a book. I had a bookmark. I think I got it at church, but it was a large bookmark, and on it was a photo of looked like a teenager, a young man. I was probably 12 or 13 when I got this, and I saw this young man. He was muscular. He was strong. He had his hands on the stern of a boat, the wheel, and behind him is a photo or a depiction, rather, of Christ, who has his hand on his shoulder, as though in life's voyage, Christ has his hand on us and he's leading us. And then what really mattered about this bookmark was underneath were the words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean under your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
Amen.
I want to be in alignment with the will of God. You know, if your car, if a wheel gets out of alignment, everything's imbalanced. It runs crooked, veers to the left or right, so you get your wheels balanced. Well, the beef of this message, the heart of the rest of this message, I want to show you four wheels on which you can align yourself with the will of God. Because there are four times in the scripture, specifically, that the will of God is mentioned. And this is universal and specific to every one of us. There are four things that if you will do these four things, you will find yourself in the center of God's will. Who wants to be in the center of God's will? So these four wheels, they are four wills, if you will balance your life and keep you aligned with the will of God. And I'm going to mention them first, and then we're going to break them down briefly for all of us. So here are the four wills, the four wheels. Number one, John 6:40. These are the words of Jesus. Believe in Jesus Christ, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So Jesus said, this is the will of the Father, that you be saved, that you be born again. There's a second wheel, and it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which is to give thanks to God in every circumstance of your life. Here it is. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's wheel number two. And then number three. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, which means to be made more and more like Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make us Christ-like, to make us godly. And so his will is that we grow in maturity in our faith and sanctification, Christ-likeness, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So wheel number three is abstain from sexual sin and live in moral purity. Wheel number four. And this is 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read it because the verses that I asked to be put on the screen didn't quite cover everything I wanted to cover in this verse. So just listen up on this one. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 13. Be subject or submissive for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor or supreme, as supreme, or to governors as sent by him. We preached on this several weeks ago in 1 Peter. To punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Watch it, verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Verse 16, live as people who are free. You want freedom? Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. So it is God's will, four times, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, receive eternal life. It is God's will that you be thankful in all circumstances of your life. It is God's will that you abstain from sexual immorality and impurity of all kinds and live in moral purity. It is God's will that you be subject to authority and to do good to all of those who are around you as a witness for Christ. So let's break these down. Number one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by trusting in Christ and Christ alone. That's, again, John 6:40. This is God's will. This is the will of the Father for you. It is God's will that you be saved. To be saved is to have all your sins forgiven. It means that Christ lives in you. It means you have eternal life. The moment the miracle happens in your life, when you believe, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The scripture says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's purpose, it is God's plan that you know him, that you love him, that you serve him by receiving him as Lord and Savior of your life. And any theology that suggests in some way that there are those who are unloved or unelected by God, now we're all chosen by God, we're all invited into the family of God, the Holy Spirit. No one just gets saved in their own good time and good way, but God, the Holy Spirit, works. So we are chosen before the foundation of the world. I believe in the election of God. But at the same time, the scripture says that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. So it is God's will that you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Then secondly, the second will, giving thanks to God in every circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that we praise God and give thanks to God in all things, in every season of life, in every step of life, in every station of life. That we are always praising God. The Westminster Confession of Faith, which is an old Christian confession, says the chief end of man, that is the purpose of a human being, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so it is your purpose to glorify God. And one way that we do that is through our praise and thanksgiving to him. So every season, every step of the way, Psalm 37, some favorite verses of mine, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. So he orders our steps, and someone added, he also orders our stops. Our steps and our stops. And then, though he fall, though he stumble, he will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his strong right hand. You know, when you're a child, just watch these little children. Maybe you were like this. You know, a kid falls down, he gets right back up. Falls down, he gets right back up. It's just a passage of life. But at this season and this stage of our lives, if you fall down, that's a big deal. When we stumble in life, God has promised to uphold us. So he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks. He talks about rejoicing always and praying and giving thanks. So when we're rejoicing, when we are praying, the scripture says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. This psalm was practiced by Paul and Silas when they were in jail for preaching the gospel. They were beaten to within an inch of their lives, hung in shackles, chains. And it's midnight, it's dark, a terrible dungeon. What are they gonna do? Whine? No, they worshiped. And the apostle Paul must have looked at Silas and said, hey, Silas, how you doing? He said, well, I'm hanging in there. He said, let's sing something. What do you want to sing, Paul? I don't know. Let's sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And they begin to sing and worship God, praising God in prison in the pain. God broke through in the midst of that and set them free. And they ended up leading the jailer, the Roman jailer, and his entire family to Christ. And I've always thought, what a beautiful picture that is of Christians who are suffering or in pain or in difficulty or circumstances, and that God would give us the grace that we could praise him in anything and praise him for everything. Why? Because it's the will of God. Now we can debate that and argue that and not always understand it, but the second will is this is the will of God, that you give thanks in everything. Thirdly, abstain from sexual sin and live in moral purity. This is the will of God. This is the will of God, that you be sanctified, made more and more like Christ, and that you abstain from sexual sin. God calls us, every one of us, to purity. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're to live in pursuit of godliness, that's sanctification and holiness, and say no to the fleshly appetites that Peter tells us later in his book of 1 Peter that war against the soul, because sexual sin is so damaging. Paul said it is a sin against one's own body. Live in freedom from all sexual sins and sensualities and porn and all the stuff that's there. This is God's will for you. Why? Because God's holding out for you? No, he's holding sex for you. He's keeping it for you, that it will be righteous and good and godly when the time comes. But we are never to live in sexual sin or immorality, but rather in godliness. Make godly choices in your life regarding your body, your brain. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what do you not know? That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. For you are bought with a price. You are blood bought and heaven bound. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Amen. The will of God is not so much something that we find, but God's will finds us when we're walking with in obedience to him. And remember this, God will not take you one step further in your life than the measure of your obedience to him. Amen. Number four, and quickly closing, submit to authority and do what is right in the sight of all men. The word submission is a dirty word for some, but it's a biblical word. We're to submit to one another according to scriptures, and then we're to submit to governing authorities. Employees are to submit to employers, in this case, 1 Peter, slaves in that era to slave masters. And then we're going to see in the marriage section coming up in 1 Peter, wives to husbands, as husbands love their wives. But it's all about authority. It's God's will that you live in submission to authority. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Submitting yourself to the authority that God has placed over you. Wives to husbands and husbands to God and all to one another. And then we do this because we're not radicals, we're not rebels as Christians. We live in submission to the laws that govern our land, unless those laws in some way violate the commandments of God. We must obey God and not man. But as Christians, we live subject to the laws that are in our society and in our culture. Why? So that our witness would be strong and good to those who are around us. And this is the will of God. Four wheels. Four wills. Believe in Jesus and be saved. Give thanks in all circumstances. Abstain from sexual sin and live in moral purity. And submit yourself to governing authorities and do what is right in the sight of men and in the sight of God. For this is God's will. And then what do? You have the freedom then, because you are in alignment with God's will, because you're in the center of God's will, to make choices that will honor him and propel you to great success in your life. But remember my opening quote. Success in life is not the dreams that you dream, but the choices that you make. Now let me challenge you today to take that vital step of aligning your life with the will of God. It's there in that place, that sacred space of surrender, trust, and obedience. It is there that you will discover the magnificent purpose, the masterpiece life that God has created for you. And I want to walk alongside of you in this journey. And if you're looking for a place to start or deepen your Bible study and reading, I invite you to join me on my Bible in a Year podcast. It's been amazing how many people have signed up for the Bible in a Year. Each day, we'll be exploring Scripture together, unpacking its meaning, and discovering practical applications for our lives. Think of it as having a friend to guide you on your journey through God's Word. So the choice is yours. Will you take that step today? Will you commit yourself to discovering and living out God's plan, God's purpose for your life? And I want to encourage you to visit our website at jackgraham.org and explore our resources that will help you achieve God's purpose, God's plan for your life. Especially, we want you to know Jesus as your Savior. So trust Him today and follow Him as your Lord. Thank you for spending the time with me today in this broadcast. I look forward to opening God's Word together again with you next time, right here on PowerPoint.